College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride It Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride It Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. Thanks for tuning in to this post-Thanksgiving Day show. So today, along with our Operation Food Search donation topic, we want to know what you are grateful for around your home. So maybe it's a newly completed remodel job. Maybe you're just grateful to be home and have everyone safe and sound around the house. But no matter what it is you're grateful for, you can give us a call today and let us know or ask any questions you may have about your home, about remodeling your home, anything going on. The phone lines are wide open right now, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So, you know, everyone knows the pandemic crisis is growing to new heights right now. And, you know, the need to help feed our children is growing as well. So today, I have a very special show for you, a very special guest. Kristen Wild with Operation Food Search will be joining me today to help let you know how you can stay safe and still help them with their cause, help them get food, distribute everything that needs to happen with that. And also, we still want to hear from you. We'll have plenty of time for any of your questions about your home or what you're grateful for in this crazy year we got going on. So we can't wait to hear from you. Again, 314-241-9797. Plus, today's hack is removing a broken light bulb. So stick around for that and your question. For now, let's get things started with Kristen, my guest with Operation Food Search, Kristen Wild. How are you doing today, Kristen?
Great. Thanks so much, Rich. Good to be on the show.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's great to have you. A great cause. I've been kind of preempting this for my listeners here for about 2 or 3 weeks that we had something coming up that we were going to be doing, you know, in the month of December, because we usually have this big food and toy drive and we stuff the truck and we have a big event and all this. And of course, you know, like your organization, everybody's, COVID's kind of changing the way we have to handle everything and get it done. So we're taking a little bit different approach this year. But I want to thank you guys for joining us on this, and I'm grateful that we can, you know, help out and be involved in your cause. But for now, to kind of get us started, I'd like to hear just kind of from you, like a little bit about yourself. Are you originally always from St. Louis or from somewhere else?
I'm actually originally from Michigan, but I moved to the St. Louis area in 1994. So I almost feel like a native. I've lived here longer than any place else.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's awesome. And what a great, you know, spot and great area. You know, we have kind of central, you know, all around us and a lot of great things going on. So, so have you, how did you get involved in Operation Food Search and working with them and everything?
Well, I'd always had an awareness and really an admiration for Operation Food Search, just knowing the service that they provide to the community. You know, my own children, I've got a senior in high school, a sophomore in college, and throughout their education, there were food drives hosted for Operation Food Search. And I just was always aware that the organization had such a presence in schools, contributing food as well as collecting food from those who are able to make donations, but the organization always was top of mind, and I've had a history of working in education and in longer ago working with under-resourced kids. So Operation Food Search was just such a great fit for me, and it has been an absolute pleasure to serve there with a really incredible team. And as you mentioned, St. Louis, you know, one of the highlights to me of St. Louis is how philanthropic the community is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, so what I want to do, I have a real quick just list of what we call like a lightning round question. Only takes about a minute or so. Then we're going to get after that into our first break. So when we come back, I definitely want to get into what's going on with Mosby with Operation Food Search and what's going on with Operation Food Search. But real quick, kind of around St. Louis and getting to know you, Kristen, a little better. Do you prefer thin crust or deep dish pizza?
Oh, gosh. I have to admit, I prefer deep dish. You know, I'm from Michigan, not too far from Chicago, so that's just how I grew up.
Sure. And you know what? Pantera has been here a long time, so we love it too. So are you a night owl or an early bird?
My natural tendency, I'm a night owl, but I've basically had to adjust to becoming a more of an early bird. But my preference is to be a night owl.
Yeah. So would you prefer beach or the mountains?
Oh, that's a tough one. How about a beach near the mountains?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'd say probably mountains. I love hiking.
Let's do just some kind of St. Louis things. Fritz's or Ted Drew's?
I got to say Ted Drew's. I used to live near the one on Grand. So delicious.
Yeah. Yep. Would you do the Cardinals or the Blues?
Cardinals.
Okay. So the Arch or the City Museum?
The City Museum. There's no place like it.
I know, isn't it? That's so awesome. So, botanical garden or the zoo?
Oh, gosh, that's another tough one. I'm actually going to the zoo tonight for their wildlife, but I tried to go to the botanical gardens. They were booked. I would say the botanical gardens.
Okay, and then Grant's Farm or Magic House?
Grant's Farm at this stage of my life with my kids.
Awesome. Well, hey, this is so much fun. I love doing these types of things. Thanks for playing along a little bit here with me, Kristen. And can you stick around for the rest of the hour and kind of go over a lot of this with me?
Yes. Happy to do so.
That would be awesome. So we're going to get into our first break here. But when we get back, we can get deeper into how Mosby and Operation Food Search are working together, what we could do to help out, and all of those details. And you can still call in 314-241-9797. Give us a shout. Let us know what you're grateful for or any question about your house. We will be right back. All right, we are back and having a great time. I've got Kristen Wild on the phone with me from Operation Food Search. So I've been kind of trying to preempt everybody over the past few weeks that, you know, we were looking for a way to still give back, to still do something to help out and everything. So Mosby is teaming up with Operation Food Search to help get some donations, to help get them what they need. And here with me live to talk all about it, Kristen Wild is with me today. So Kristen, are you still there?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I really appreciate you coming on and everything and letting us know about all this. you know, because we do, we're missing out on, you know, our big event. We all like it. We've got a lot of people at Mosby. We have a blast with it. And of course, you know, crazy year, everything's changing. So we kind of reached out and partnered up with you guys to still kind of give back to the community and help out. So for starters, can you just kind of let us know, just describe Operation Food Search, you know, what does it do? Who does it help? You know, some of that stuff.
Sure. Well, we really have what we call our three pillars. So first, we meet the immediate need. So those who are food insecure in the community, we work to help them by providing food through a network of about 200 community food sites. Those are homeless shelters, food pantries, transitional homes. And we feed about 200,000 people every month through that system. And we also have a lot of programs that are geared specifically for kids. They are our out-of-school meal programs. So we work to feed kids over the weekends through our Operation Backpack program. We have a summer meals program that is actually operating year-round right now due to the pandemic, and we have an after-school meals program. And we also work on, so that's just our first pillar, but then we also work on what we call building nutrition IQ. So educating people about nutrition, cooking, even shopping at the grocery store. We do food demonstrations, so we are trying to give people, the kids and adults, skills they need so that they can purchase and create nutritious meals. And then we have a policy and advocacy team that works on impacting policy and helps our partners and our the people who ultimately benefit from our services. We make them aware of resources that are available to them.
Wow, that's, man, that first pillar seemed like a lot to do, much less all three. So, yeah, I could see you guys are probably extremely, extremely busy. And so, and I'm sure that, you know, like, kind of like in construction, we've seen a lot of different disruptions from a lot of different angles in our industry, from, you know, workers getting ill to, you know, trying to get products in, and, you know, certain areas where they do certain products not being able to get them in and stuff. Have you guys been seeing some disruptions in the donations and trying to get everything done that you guys do?
We have, both from a product standpoint and a workforce standpoint. As far as products, you know, so many people are aware that it was hard to find toilet paper at the grocery stores back in March and April.
Yeah.
And a lot of grocery store shelves had much less on them than they typically did. And that was a combination of people, you know, going and raiding the shelves, as well as disruptions similar to what Mosby has experienced, disruptions with the supply chain. So, you know, there are fewer truck drivers available due to illness and due to other demands, and you know, just everything with the restaurants shutting down and then having only being partially open, there's just been across the board a lot of disruptions to the supply chain. So we unfortunately had a reduction in the amount of food, especially non-perishable food, canned goods, that were not available for the grocery stores to donate to us like they normally, at the same level that they normally would. Schnucks, Dierbergs, and Straub's are all wonderful donors to us, and they have had less to donate since the beginning of the pandemic on the non-perishable front.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, just making this all more important. So I want to just kind of tell people real quick. So what Mosby is doing with you guys is we're having a virtual food drive, but it's actually, you know, we're talking about dollar donations. So if you go to our website, callmosby.com, I went there this morning. It's the banner at the top. It's literally the first thing that you will see right at the top of the page. And if you go there, click on that site to donate, and donate through our site, then For every dollar donated, we will match that dollar up to $5,000 in donation. And when you do donate, you'll be registered and everything, and you can, you'll be registered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. So you might even get something a little bit back out of it too. So I want to encourage everybody to go there, do that, help us make sure we have to give everything that we've obligated to as a company. And so we want to give that full $5,000. So I want to ask all my listeners to check out our website. It's callmosby.com, callmosby.com. And, you know, the amazing thing that I was really hearing was how much more that dollar donation is really worth. Kristen, can you explain, we got about a minute and a half, can you explain just kind of the worth of that dollar against the worth of actually donating, you know, canned food or something like that?
Sure, yes. I mean, we love receiving both kinds of donations, food as well as financial, but because of the relationships we have with suppliers and other food donors, we can basically leverage every dollar, we can leverage that for $10. So if your listeners and customers donate that $5,000 that you mentioned and you match it, and we with $5,000 more raising $10,000, that effectively is the equivalent of $100,000 to Operation Food Search. And when you figure the average cost of a meal is $250, $100,000 can generate
wow.
40,000 meals. So
holy cow.
This is powerful. So what, you know, we have donations anywhere from $5 to, you know, 100,000 from donors. So
absolutely.
Every dollar counts.
Okay. So we got to get into our hard middle break here, but when we return, I want to get more into some of the stuff with, the food search and what Mosby's doing together. See if we can drum up some donations here. We're also still taking your calls and everything, so we will have more of this when we're right back.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, we are back, and we are right in time for my Right at Home Hack. I want to invite Facebook Live joining us here, and I want to tell out there, I want to give a thanks to Lori Coonan for her comment about delays in waiting for some glass for her new front door during COVID. She won the $50 Home Depot gift card in my Facebook contest giveaway. Also want to let everybody know that Mosby's Food Drive in December is here. It started. Operation Food Search. If you go to our website, callmosby.com, for every dollar you give, it provides $10 worth of food and service. So you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card by donating, and Mosby will match up to $5,000 in donations made through our website. So go there, check it out, donate. So for now, my hack today, removing a broken light bulb. So I had a client not too long ago, a few weeks ago, you know, had a light bulb break off inside a can light. It's at the top of the stairwell, you know, 18 feet high or whatever. So she kind of asked if we could take care of that, you know, while we were there. Of course, we said okay. But then I was thinking, well, there's some tricks that can be done to get that light bulb out of there. So step one, the first thing you want to do is always disconnect the electricity, you know, make sure the light switch is off, but it's always a good idea. Go to the breaker panel box and trip that breaker off, remove the fuse, whatever you got, make sure that the power is absolutely down. Then the first technique is just with a needle nose pliers. You can, you know, proceed kind of cautiously and slowly. You don't want to damage your fixture, but you can grab the edge of that bulb and kind of bend the metal in just slightly inward to get a little better grip on it, and then kind of just start to gently unscrew it. If it doesn't budge right away, kind of repeat bending some metal on the other side and kind of loosen that up from in there, and you can turn it out. I have successfully done that. But the second technique is a raw potato. So basically slice a medium-sized raw potato in half, kind of short ways, dry off the excess moisture and everything. Then just basically push the cut end of that potato firmly onto the base. Get it in there as deep as you can, and then just start counterclockwise unscrewing with that potato. And a lot of times it will screw that light bulb socket right out of there. And of course, the third technique is they actually, you know, there's tools for everything. They actually make a commercial broken bulb extractor. So you can buy one of these for $10 to like $20 online or at the home improvement centers. They've got like a rubber tip. A lot of them have, you can put it on a pole to get to those higher places, and that rubber tip will just kind of jam inside there, again, rotate counterclockwise, and it should back that thing right out of there. So maybe not a bad tool to have, you know, lying around the house for when that happens for $10. And then you can donate that potato to Operation Food Search with us. So hopefully this is helpful to you all. And don't forget, you can see all my hacks on Facebook and Twitter. So you can find links there. Go to at Rich Orr's for Twitter, or Rich Orr's Mosby for Facebook, and you will find all those hacks and the links to more information on them on all my social media. So we're going to get back at this Operation Future stuff with Kristen here, and get a little more information out about all of that. So Kristen, I tell you what I was really curious about is kind of the current situation right now. You know, how has it changed since the start of the pandemic for you guys? And has the current situation, you know, really changed what you're doing and how you're doing it, or the amount of donations or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, food insecurity has really increased substantially since the start of the pandemic. If you think about all the numbers you're hearing in the news about the rate of unemployment and the number of new people filing for unemployment, people are losing income, and that translates into harder decisions being made about how they spend their money. And especially as we enter the winter months, families are having to choose between paying utilities and putting food on the table. And so this time of year is typically challenging for many families, but COVID is making it even that much more challenging. And so while we've seen this increase in need, we've also had some challenges of our own just with, you know, wanting to keep our employees and our volunteers safe. So we made the hard decision in March to close our doors at our facility to volunteers. And we typically rely on literally thousands of people who come and volunteer at Operation Food Search. Our community is just so giving. And, you know, because we wanted to limit the number of people there, we had to hire some temporary labor workers, and some of our regular staff workers had to pivot in their duties that they typically did to some other responsibilities to help us respond to the need. And, you know, we had people who were typically in the community teaching nutrition education courses ended up having to work in the warehouse on an assembly line stuffing bags of food. You know, they couldn't go out in the community to teach in the traditional manner, and we needed more assistance with packaging up food and getting food out the door. So it was sort of a natural solution. But we've had our staff is just really incredible, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to meet the need.
You know, that's great, because it is, you know, like Mosby here, we've got so many people. We've got so many great workers. I have clients all the time that, you know, are asking me, you know, is about their project manager. Somebody, is Steve still around, or, you know, is Rick still running jobs and, you know, stuff like that. And aside from, you know, changing positions and promotions and things, you know, a ton of these people are still around and people really appreciate that. So finding good people is just an awesome thing that's willing to go through and do whatever it takes, you know, to get stuff like that handled and to get through it. And you just don't, you know, you don't realize how bad this impact can be until you hear some stories like this and you really listen and start hearing like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that not having those volunteers has got to be, you know, such a big deal. I just couldn't even imagine. And, you know, for there are people actually, I would consider myself included, that are really thriving through this pandemic. It's really our industry has literally grown and we're thriving through it. So basically it gives us the ability to do this. It gives us the ability, you know, to help out and do something like this because, you know, we're actually doing well and thriving through.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, we are back and we are right in time for my Right at Home Hack. I want to invite Facebook Live joining us here, and I want to tell out there, I want to give a thanks to Lori Coonan for her comment about delays in waiting for some glass for her new front door during COVID. She won the $50 Home Depot gift card in my Facebook contest giveaway. Also want to let everybody know that Mosby's Food Drive in December is here. It started. Operation Food Search. If you go to our website, callmosby.com, for every dollar you give, it provides $10 worth of food and service. So you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card by donating, and Mosby will match up to $5,000 in donations made through our website. So go there, check it out, donate. So for now, my hack today, removing a broken light bulb. So I had a client not too long ago, a few weeks ago, you know, had a light bulb break off inside a can light. It's at the top of the stairwell, you know, 18 feet high or whatever. So she kind of asked if we could take care of that, you know, while we were there. Of course, we said okay. But then I was thinking, well, there's some tricks that can be done to get that light bulb out of there. So step one, the first thing you want to do is always disconnect the electricity. You know, make sure the light switch is off, but it's always a good idea. Go to the breaker panel box and trip that breaker off, remove the fuse, whatever you got. Make sure that the power is absolutely down. Then the first technique is just with a needle nose pliers. You can, you know, proceed kind of cautiously and slowly. You don't want to damage your fixture, but you can grab the edge of that bulb and kind of bend the metal in just slightly inward to get a little better grip on it, and then kind of just start to gently unscrew it. If it doesn't budge right away, kind of repeat bending some metal on the other side and kind of loosen that up from in there, and you can turn it out. I have successfully done that. But the second technique is a raw potato. So basically slice a medium-sized raw potato in half, kind of short ways, dry off the excess moisture and everything. Then just basically push the cut end of that potato firmly onto the base, get it in there as deep as you can, and then just start counterclockwise unscrewing with that potato. And a lot of times it will screw that light bulb socket right out of there. And of course, the third technique is they actually, you know, there's tools for everything. They actually make a commercial broken bulb extractor. So you can buy one of these for $10 to like $20 online or at the home improvement centers. They've got like a rubber tip. A lot of them have, you can put it on a pole to get to those higher places, and that rubber tip will just kind of jam inside there. Again, rotate counterclockwise, and it should back that thing right out of there. So maybe not a bad tool to have, you know, lying around the house for when that happens for $10. And then you can donate that potato to Operation Food Search with us. So Hopefully this is helpful to you all. And don't forget, you can see all my hacks on Facebook and Twitter. So you can find links there. Go to at Rich Orr's for Twitter or Rich Orr's Mosby for Facebook, and you will find all those hacks and the links to more information on them on all my social media. So we're going to get back at this Operation Future stuff with Kristen here and get a little more information out about all of that. So Kristen, I tell you, what I was really curious about is kind of the current situation right now. You know, how has it changed since the start of the pandemic for you guys? And has the current situation, you know, really changed what you're doing and how you're doing it or the amount of donations or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, food insecurity has really increased substantially since the start of the pandemic. If you think about all the numbers you're hearing in the news about the rate of unemployment and the number of new people filing for unemployment, people are losing income, and that translates into harder decisions being made about how they spend their money. And especially as we enter the winter months, families are having to choose between paying utilities and putting food on the table. And so this time of year is typically challenging for many families, but COVID is making it even that much more challenging. And so while we've seen this increase in need, we've also had some challenges of our own just with, you know, wanting to keep our employees and our volunteers safe. So we made the hard decision in March to close our doors at our facility to volunteers. And we typically rely on literally thousands of people who come and volunteer at Operation Food Search. Our community is just so giving. And, you know, because we wanted to limit the number of people there, we had to hire some temporary labor workers. And some of our regular staff workers had to pivot in their duties that they typically did to some other responsibilities to help us respond to the need. And, you know, we had people who were typically in the community teaching nutrition education courses ended up having to work in the warehouse on an assembly line stuffing bags of food. You know, they couldn't go out in the community to teach in the traditional manner, and we needed more assistance with packaging up food and getting food out the door. So it was sort of a natural solution. But our staff is just really incredible, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to meet the need.
You know, that's great, because it is, you know, like Mosby here, we've got so many people. We've got so many great workers. I have clients all the time that, you know, are asking me, you know, is about their project manager. Somebody, is Steve still around, or, you know, is Rick still running jobs and, you know, stuff like that. And aside from, you know, changing positions and promotions and things, you know, a ton of these people are still around, and people really appreciate that. So finding good people is just an awesome thing that's willing to go through and do whatever it takes, you know, to get stuff like that handled and to get through it. And you just don't, you know, you don't realize how bad this impact can be until you hear some stories like this and you really listen and start hearing, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, they not having those volunteers has got to be, you know, such a big deal. I just couldn't even imagine. And, you know, there are people actually, I would consider myself included, that are really thriving through this pandemic. It's really, our industry has literally grown and we're thriving through it. So basically it gives us the ability to do this. It gives us the ability, you know, to help out and do something like this, because, you know, we're actually doing well and thriving through it. It's a lot of, you know, so there's different industries that are just hit so differently. But then that's why I want to encourage everybody, you know, if things seem okay, if you're like, well, my job's fine and everything's going well and, you know, everything I'm doing is great, listen up and use that opportunity to help out, because there is so much need out there. It's just kind of incredible right now, you know. I just really, I want to be able to do that. So, you know, but we're only going to do this through the month of December. So I encourage everybody, you know, donate through our website. But how can people or either find you guys or donate later, you know, next year, or when they are back on their feet, or if they want to volunteer once this is all over, you know, how can they find you guys?
Sure. I'd encourage people to go to our website at operationfoodsearch.org. People can make online donations there. We also have a place where you can sign up to volunteer. And while we don't have a lot of volunteer opportunities at our facility right now, that will hopefully change within a couple of months.
Yeah.
After we have a vaccine. And we are using volunteers for some of our offsite activities. So we have a program with St. Louis County Libraries where we, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we distribute food for children, and then we also are donating or distributing produce boxes to families and some other shelf-stable food for families. So we are utilizing volunteers there. We periodically have these large-scale food distributions where we use volunteers. We're also, we have a gleaning program where we work with local farmers, and we go out it's great. It just kicked off earlier this year, where we're going out and harvesting food that would otherwise just be tilled into the ground or discarded. And so we use volunteers to help us out with that project. So that's a fun way to get outdoors and help the community.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, we got to get into our break here real quick, Kristen, but this is our final break. So when we return, we can get back into a little bit more of that and kind of finish things up and see if we can get enough people to help out and get us going. And don't forget, you can still call in if you have a question or comment about any of this in the last segment. We're right here. So feel free to call in. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Final segment with Kristen Wild from Operation Food Search. And, you know, we're kind of letting everybody know the need and everything going on and, you know, what Mosby is doing right now to try and help out, try and give back a little bit. So our food drive that we're doing this December, it'll run through the month of December. It's there right now. If you go to our website, you can see the details. It'll be the first thing that comes up at callmosby.com. That's callmosby.com. I encourage everybody, you know, to give a little something. So dollar for dollar, Mosby Building Arts is going to match up to $5,000 of donations, and you'll be registered once you donate for a $100 Amazon gift card that we will be giving away through this month of December. So a couple good reasons to do it, but most of all, just to feel good, help out. If you have the ability to give anything, even $5, go there, give something. You know, I'm trying to imagine, and I've done these drives and stuff before and interviewed different people, and we've talked about how, you know, what you were saying earlier, Kristen, is people having to choose, you know, between paying their bills or putting gas in their car so that they can make it to work, so that they can get more money and try it all over again, you know, and they're choosing between transportation, medical care, their housing, do you even have a roof? You know, all these things always seem to obviously come first over food and having enough food. And then from what I've always heard from everybody is it's hard to get good food, nutritional food, if you don't have, you know, the money for it. The good food costs more than cheap fast food or something you can get, you know, really inexpensively. So I just grateful that I'm not in that situation and want to help out and hope that we can encourage everybody else to help out. And so Kristen, can you kind of touch on maybe how, because I've heard a lot about how this, you know, poor nutrition just affects the kids in school. So you're trying to help all these children, you know, does that have a negative effect on them?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you think about yourself, you know, as an adult, if you miss a meal, or, you know, don't get enough food throughout the day, how much harder it is to concentrate and be productive. Think about that for kids, you know, kids who are sitting in a classroom, if they have not had breakfast that morning, or they didn't have dinner the night before, think about how difficult it is to focus on their schoolwork and to you know, get along well with others and not be irritable. You know, we have a program called Breakfast After the Bell, where we've worked with school districts to help increase the number of kids who are eating breakfast at school if they qualify for it. And we've had teachers report that they have fewer, you know, discipline problems in the classroom. They have better focusing from the kids. They have fewer trips where their kids are going down to the school nurse saying that they have a stomach ache. So, you know, it really impacts kids. And we have a big focus on making sure that kids are well nourished and are getting healthy food. Like you said, you know, not a dinner of ramen noodles that it has no nutritional value. You know, we want to make sure they're getting protein and fresh food. So that's definitely a priority.
Yeah. And I love what, you know, you were talking about the recycling from the farmers and stuff and, you know, food that would go to waste. There's so much waste, you know, everywhere now, not just in our state or our country, but all over, I'm sure. I see it all the time in our industry with labor rates increasing so much. It becomes more expensive to try and recycle or reuse something to save it and then put it back than a lot of times it is to just get the new pieces, you know, and put them in and everything. So, yeah, it becomes such a big thing. So I love the recycling from the farms and stuff like that, too, of their excess surplus and everything. That's really, really awesome there. For sure. So, but hey, we got about a minute here, and I just wanted to really thank you, Kristen, for what you do in the industry that you work in and how you guys help out. And I, you know, I'm a big supporter of children. They're innocent. They should have everything. Next week, I'm going to have a client of mine that works with an organization called CASA. It's about children also, way different than the food stuff, but, you know, another way that people can help out. So I can't wait to do that. But so for now, I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday and being so passionate and going over all this with our listeners. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's been a great opportunity to join your listeners, and we really, really appreciate Mosby for your commitment to the community and doing this drive for us. And hopefully we'll hit that $5,000 goal so that you all will match it with another $5,000 that will go to help a lot of families in the region.
Yes, I hope so. So for now, I'll talk to everybody next week. Thank you, Kristen. We'll see everybody next week. All right, we are back. Final segment with Kristen Wild from Operation Food Search. And, you know, we're kind of letting everybody know the need and everything going on and, you know, what Mosby is doing right now to try and help out, try and give back a little bit. So our food drive that we're doing this December, it'll run through the month of December. It's there right now. If you go to our website, you can see the details. It'll be the first thing that comes up at callmosby.com. That's callmosby.com. I encourage everybody, you know, to give a little something. So dollar for dollar, Mosby Building Arts is going to match up to $5,000 of donations, and you'll be registered once you donate for a $100 Amazon gift card that we will be giving away through this month of December. So a couple good reasons to do it, but most of all, just to feel good, help out. If you have the ability to give anything, even $5, go there, give something. You know, I'm trying to imagine, and I've done these drives and stuff before and interviewed different people, and we've talked about how, you know, what you were saying earlier, Kristen, is people having to choose, you know, between paying their bills or putting gas in their car so that they can make it to work, so that they can get more money and try it all over again, you know, and they're choosing between transportation, medical care, their housing, do you even have a roof? You know, all these things always seem to obviously come first over food and having enough food. And then from what I've always heard from everybody is it's hard to get good food, nutritional food, if you don't have, you know, the money for it. The good food costs more than cheap fast food or something you can get, you know, really inexpensively. So I just grateful that I'm not in that situation and want to help out and hope that we can encourage everybody else to help out. And so Kristen, can you kind of touch on maybe how, because I've heard a lot about how this, you know, poor nutrition just affects the kids in school. So you're trying to help all these children, you know, does that have a negative effect on them?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you think about yourself, you know, as an adult, if you miss a meal, or, you know, don't get enough food throughout the day, how much harder it is to concentrate and be productive. Think about that for kids. You know, kids who are sitting in a classroom, if they have not had breakfast that morning or they didn't have dinner the night before, think about how difficult it is to focus on their schoolwork and to you know, get along well with others and not be irritable. You know, we have a program called Breakfast After the Bell, where we've worked with school districts to help increase the number of kids who are eating breakfast at school if they qualify for it. And we've had teachers report that they have fewer, you know, discipline problems in the classroom. They have better focusing from the kids. They have fewer trips where their kids are going down to the school nurse saying that they have a stomach ache. So, you know, it really impacts kids. And we have a big focus on making sure that kids are well nourished and are getting healthy food. Like you said, you know, not a dinner of ramen noodles that it has no nutritional value. You know, we want to make sure they're getting protein and fresh food. So that's definitely a priority.
Yeah. And I love what, you know, you were talking about the recycling from the farmers and stuff and, you know, food that would go to waste. There's so much waste, you know, everywhere now, not just in our state or our country, but all over, I'm sure. I see it all the time in our industry with labor rates increasing so much. It becomes more expensive to try and recycle or reuse something to save it and then put it back than a lot of times it is to just get the new pieces, you know, and put them in and everything. So, yeah, it becomes such a big thing. So I love the recycling from the farms and stuff like that, too, of their excess surplus and everything. That's really, really awesome there. For sure. So, but hey, we got about a minute here, and I just wanted to really thank you, Kristen, for what you do in the industry that you work in and how you guys help out. And I, you know, I'm a big supporter of children. They're innocent. They should have everything. Next week, I'm going to have a client of mine that works with an organization called CASA. It's about children also, way different than the food stuff, but, you know, another way that people can help out. So I can't wait to do that. But so for now, I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday and being so passionate and going over all this with our listeners. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's been a great opportunity to join your listeners, and we really, really appreciate Mosby for your commitment to the community and doing this drive for us. And hopefully we'll hit that $5,000 goal so that you all will match it with another $5,000 that will go to help a lot of families in the region.
Yes, I hope so. So for now, I'll talk to everybody next week. Thank you, Kristen. We'll see everybody next week.